Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday morning, the 12th of December. And hopefully you're safe wherever you are. Hopefully you're just home under the covers. That'd be lovely if you got that. I know a lot of schools to the north and workplaces were closed down because of the storm. Those to the south, not as much, but still a little hairy. And so, you know, be careful and take care of yourself. We want you to be around for a long time, obviously. So please, please, please be careful. Good morning, everybody.
Who is that?
What?
Who's little Harry?
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Huh?
Because I said it was little Harry outside, and he asked who little Harry was.
H-A-I-R-Y.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. My hearing isn't too good.
It's like a 60s term.
Right. Right. As our fathers looked at their sons. Well,
yes,
that's a little hairy.
That's a little hairy. All right. Well, good morning. Let me introduce the panel to you. Libby Post is here, communications consultant to the stars and political consultant, actually. And good morning. How are you? Is this yours or mine?
This is mine.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just making sure we had the right vessel of soda.
Yes, I know. Yours is mine and mine is mine.
That's right. Good. And usually I used to go up against JP too, but he seems to be opposite.
I'm empty-handed, yeah.
Yeah, all right. JP Miller is of the Empire Report, the man behind that wonderful news service, and we are thrilled to have you with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Thank you for making it in. Mike Spain is just our bestie, and he is with us this morning.
He is
the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Alan Chartok is our bestie as well. Good morning, sir.
That is so kind of you, Joe. And I really need it this morning because somebody must be going around saying bad things about me.
I thought somebody was going around saying bad things. And it was...
No, I wasn't going around.
No, you were directly into my face.
I was direct to your face.
To be announced what the kids used to call me in graduate school. Remember, which was short and ugly.
That's right.
Yeah.
That'll teach you to have a former student on the round table.
I could only imagine how that came up.
Oh, yeah, could you? Me too.
You don't strike me as a hit-first type person.
I wasn't. I walked into the green room, and I said, good morning, dear. And he said, that's illegal. I said, fine, I'll call you short and ugly, like we did in graduate school.
Okay.
And JP
that's
was
how
there,
it happened, yes.
That's how it happened. Right, I'm not lying now.
No, you have
right?
two reporters in the room.
Right.
We're all good.
Patronizing.
All right.
And if you want to
yes.
see...
Yes.
Patronizing
want,
is not allowed.
Oh.
And if
okay.
you want to see how short and ugly, then you can
just tune in.
On
right.
the, on
Go
the
to
video.
The stream, okay. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. All right. Well, good morning. Let's get going here. I left this question on my Facebook page this morning as I was asking. Mike, maybe you can help me out with this. I was trying to figure out, I was working through my morning prayers this morning, and I was trying to come up with who the patron saint of not electing pedophiles is. And I don't
I
know.
Well, in Alabama, it could be St. Jude.
Because, yeah, well, I got because... a lot of St. Jude. I also got a lot. I got quite a bit of mail from atheists who say, well, I don't believe, but I'm willing to give it a shot in this case. I also got a funny one from Mark who said that maybe San or Saint Quentin would be a good also a good response. Well, good morning. It is Election Day in Alabama. We will see what happens tonight. It's a nail biter, and the polls are all over the place. And I heard this morning one analyst say you could probably throw them all out the window because it's going to be difficult mm-hmm. to tell. Roy Moore versus Doug Jones. Roy Moore, of course, the Republican. Doug Jones, the Democrat. Roy Moore has been mired in scandal because of multiple allegations of sexual impropriety.
He likes little
two
girls.
Allegations against him that involved underage children, 115, 114, or 117 and 114, I apologize. Also, and then, of course, Doug Jones, who is a Democrat and who has been getting last-minute support throughout from a lot of big hitters of President Obama did robocalls for him. He also even got support from Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, that was interesting. The Republican, I mean, she was in the George W. Bush administration, and she came out strong for him.
And to say nothing of the senior senator from Alabama.
Senator Shelby.
And to say nothing yeah. of
the God. Former governor of Massachusetts.
Nikki Haley giving credibility to some women who were... Hmm. going up against Trump. I mean, it all works together.
So the question is, what is going to happen tonight? And what? And really, this there's two things on trial here. One, of course, is Roy Moore and his political future. The other, of course, is the president and his support and full-throated support of Roy Moore. Alan.
Okay, now I think the only fair thing to do this morning would be go around the panel, no baloney, and get a prediction. I mean, in other words, from everybody here, because everybody, if this happens, that happens. No, that's not what we have to do here. We really have to, and
May I respond to that?
Yes.
The Secretary of State in Alabama is predicting a turnout of 20% to 25%. If we knew which 25% of Alabama was going to come out, it would be much easier to predict.
Mike, you know
I've got a prediction.
You know how I love you, Mike. You
know JP has a prediction.
Wait, you know how I love you, Mike. But here's the problem with that. That's mealy mouth, if ever there was one. You know, that's if this happens.
I thought you'd appreciate that as a political scientist.
As a political scientist, I want to know. I want to count you. I want to know how you're doing. I'm saying, and I'll tell you my reason, that Moore wins. And the reason I'm saying it is, and I hope I'm wrong. For once in my life, I really hope I'm wrong. But I think if I say Moore is going to win, then the double whammy gets put on him, and he loses. So therefore, I'm saying he's going to win.
I think the Fox News poll showing.
Oh,
Jones,
I agree with you.
20 points ahead or whatever it was,
yes.
10, 20 points, was a put-up job.
Absolutely.
To get, money.
To get money and to get Moore's people
voters
out.
Come
to get the voters out.
Yeah, yes. I agree.
So,
because one out of four said that Moore was going to win by 20 points. Yeah. The other three all said, one out of four said that Jones would win, but the other three.
I think Moore will probably win, and I hope that this will add to the triple whammy.
Yeah.
But I'm very hopeful that that Jones will pull it out. But I just don't see it in the cards down there unless the African-American community, and there's a big turnout in the urban areas where there is some pockets of Democrats, but also Richard Shelby coming out yesterday gives cover
and
to
they use that
Republicans.
Use that in the robocall.
Right. It gives cover to the Republicans who are disgusted by Roy Moore but don't know where to go.
Now, the sociological polls, the ones you got to really look at, are basically saying that nobody who is pro-Trump has gotten off the dime on this thing. So, in other words, what in the world would make us think that an evangelical Christian who believes, in all the sanctity of marriage and all the other things, is going to change their mind? They apparently not. Apparently not.
Well, and then of course last night, as if it were a fireworks grand finale, Roy Moore's wife says, "Hey, we're not bigots.
Yeah.
We have a Jew as an attorney."
Oh my God. It was like, you can't be any more stereotypical than that.
My God. Good Lord.
Good Lord.
We ate a bagel.
Right, exactly. We had salmon once. So there was a man in the audience last night who at the final Roy Moore rally, and I'll try to find his name. But he held up a sign, and his story apparently was that it was
the peanut farmer.
Yeah,
yes.
An evangelical Christian who pretty much ostracized his daughter for coming out as gay, and based his decision on that of the court and of Roy Moore's decision that that homosexuality was perversion. And so they sought, she announced this to her father. Father got very upset at her. They brought her to a bunch of doctors to try to cure her. And they were basing much of this on the fact that look, this has to be true in the court that this man has called homosexuals perverts. A short time later, after one particular doctor's appointment, she took her own life in the family house.
Oh,
her father, devastated, went to the rally yesterday to let people know that for him to call his daughter a pervert when all of this is going around him was the height of hypocrisy, or was the height of hypocrisy. And I just thought there couldn't have been a more poignant moment in the entire
race. I listened to the audio of him this morning, and he really was distraught, recognizing that the hatred that he purported to have, you know, that he expressed to his daughter about her being a lesbian, drove her to suicide at 23. I mean, this was a kid, and he was very clear about, my daughter was not a pervert. You, Roy Moore, have no business calling anybody a pervert, considering. And he was very remorseful, and I think he misses his daughter clearly, and he has guilt, but he made it very clear.
Great
guilt, but he made it very clear that Roy Moore is not the person Alabamans need to support to represent them in the Senate.
So let's talk about. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I quick prediction? I think Doug Jones is going to win. I think that turnout is going to determine this election. There is a lot of excitement on the Democratic side, and not a lot of excitement on the Republican side. The tax bill is working in a bad way for the Republicans, and the big endorsements were Richard Shelby, which saying he's not going to vote for Roy Moore, and last night the biggest endorsement available in Alabama is Charles Barkley, got behind Doug Jones. Charles Barkley is known to be a conservative. He is not a liberal Democrat. And a Barkley endorsement, that's like when Bobby Knight endorsed Trump in Indiana.
Can you remind everybody who Charles Barkley is, just in case a few of us are just...
Could you remind Alan of who Charles Barkley is?
Barkley is...
Very tall black man who plays basketball.
Used to.
Yeah. Okay.
That's him.
You can see
Alan. And is a commentator for TBS and basketball and during the... March Madness and all of that.
So
he's a legend in Alabama. If you think of Bobby Knight in Indiana, that's Charles Barkley in Alabama.
The secret of this whole thing, it's obvious that they need to get the black vote out. Mm-hmm. And if they could match what they had with Obama, because there was a huge turnout for Obama. And Obama's been...
You mean in Alabama?
In Alabama, yeah.
Yeah, but still, Obama, last time he ran, only got 38% of the vote in Alabama.
Well, yes, except that you have to get... And that's the trick in all of this. You have to get a group to turn out without alienating the other people. So, in other words, you have to get people to come in and be almost submariners in that they turn on the... They turn on the black vote without alienating the white vote.
Well, I think that's the difficulty here. Yeah. I think that's why I would predict that Roy Moore will win. I think there's going to be a backlash against outsiders coming in, telling Alabamans what to do, and they're going to turn out. And I think you're right, Libby. I think the Fox poll was exactly that. It was intended to scare people who would otherwise maybe sat home to go out. I better go out and vote now.
Do you think they're that corrupt, Fox, that they will actually falsify a poll in order to get people to turn out?
Well,
somebody probably falsified it and gave it to Fox.
And I was reading this morning on 538. I didn't get through the whole piece, but it was about the how they did the poll, and it was more of a push poll than anything else. And
the pejorative way they ask questions to get you to answer.
But also, press one, press two, it's that kind of thing. It wasn't the best.
When campaigns are putting out push polls, I think that's a sign of desperation. And Roy Moore has no momentum. His momentum was when Trump endorsed him a couple weeks ago. And Trump has in many ways lost his juice since he's been president on getting people out to the polls. The tax bill, I think, for a lot of people in Alabama, they look at this tax bill like, how is this going to help me? And why are they going to go out and vote? I think the excitement is on the Democratic side in this election. I think Doug Jones wins. And Richard Shelby saying he's not going to vote for the guy.
Yeah,
that I think means way more than anything Donald Trump or Condoleezza Rice could say.
Let's be clear. Long before the revelations about him dating teenagers, Roy Moore was a horrible candidate.
Yeah.
He had twice been thrown off the bench when he was a judge.
But the things that a lot of people in Alabama like.
Yeah.
In other words, you can't forget that.
Right.
When he said, I want the Ten Commandments up on the wall, and I'm not taking them down no matter what you people tell me, that played to the base.
Sure.
I have to. I think I agree with JP that I think that Doug Jones will win tonight. Partially that is a hope, but it is also, I agree with what you said, that there is great momentum on the Doug Jones side and not hardly any momentum on the Roy Moore side. Obviously, it's who gets out to vote. I think that there seems to be a concern among those who the very few Democrats, progressives, and minority voters in the state that have great concern. And if they are motivated and go out, mm-hmm. I think hopefully common sense will prevail. Also, there was a poll that struck me was because of Trump's voice. There is there's some question as to how much Trump would have helped in Alabama, and I think that has to be taken into account.
Because too. Joe, you are exactly right. Because he endorsed Trump, Moore's opponent.
Luther Strange.
Strange.
Right. And it didn't help Strange.
No. Right. And
so these aren't blindly obedient people who will do
anything. No, they're not.
Now, if we were, you know, if we were further to the right, you could say, well, look, Steve Bannon came in and campaigned for Roy Moore last night, and I'm sure that did very well. And I don't know. But it's interesting to see. It doesn't seem to me that he would have that recognition or quite that ability to bring people out. We've talked about on this program a million times about endorsements and whether they help at all. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, this is a very unusual race. And JP also said, or actually, as Mike said it at the very beginning of our conversation, that, yeah, they're predicting 20-25% of the of Alabama's to come out. Let's pause there. We're just at a break. We'll get a news break, and when we come back, we'll talk about this. I know Alan has a fistful of letters and dollars, and we will be back right after this short break. Good morning, and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Libby Post is here, JP Miller, and Mike Spain, along with Alan Chartok. And your letters, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. And do you want me to throw that away?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so unless you like
more.
Seconds.
Wait, there's more.
Okay, great.
There's always more.
Good morning, and we have letters, panel@wamc.org. Here are a few.
Okay, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
I have a prediction. The Republicans lose either way in today's election.
How so?
Okay, I'm about to read the next
paragraph. Excellent.
It's a no-win situation for the Republicans. A GOP molester wins the Senate seat, and they will pay for it for years to come, or they lose the Senate seat, and the GOP and Trump's agenda will be on life support, and that's from Keith.
Okay.
Okay, so we heard from Mark. If the sexual predator assault allegations against Roy Moore weren't bad enough, Steve Bannon is now openly campaigning for Roy Moore. Mr. Bannon is a white nationalist, which is a euphemism for a racist. How could anyone think this man is of good character? Well, apparently enough people do, so it makes a difference way down in that basket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, panel. A serious question. Do you think it's better for Democrats in 2018 or 20 if Moore wins? They were never supposed to win the seat anyway, and Moore would be an albatross around the Republicans' neck that can repeatedly be brought up during the campaigns. It may drive some undecided GOP voters over to the Democrats. I think this logic factored into the push to make Franken resign. Well, a lot of people think that he's falling on his own sword in order to give them that advantage. However, Trump makes a good point. He needs the vote. And the Democrats need that vote also.
Yeah, but as far as it being better for the Democrats, it's never good to have a child molester in the U.S. Senate. So I reject that.
Yeah, the single vote, I think that's like saving your fingernail to get your arm cut off. I mean, to be able to paint the Republican Party as the party of Roy Moore for the next 6 years that he's in office, if I were the Democrats, I would be praying that Roy Moore gets elected.
And the party,
praying.
And the party of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a long term, but on the short term, then you have all of these laws like the tax bill and dismantling healthcare
and Supreme Court justices
and getting rid of choice in this country, and look what they're already doing to gay rights. I mean, that's what happens.
All good points. David says, greetings from the brilliant brilliant members of the panel.
And
the enlightening Alan Chartok. My it's that second C which people leave out. It's C-H-A-R-T-O-C-K. I take great umbrage at that. My prediction for the Alabama Senate election. Roy, what are you looking puzzled, Michael?
No.
Oh, I thought, okay. My prediction for the Alabama Senate election. Roy Moore wins by a wide margin after someone accuses Doug Jones of turning her into a newt 20 years ago. Democrats stay home in a fit of moral outrage. Senate hearings to convene from Dave in Highland.
Well, anything is possible in this world.
Yeah, but it's a little late. If they're gonna, if they're gonna go after Jones, it's a little late.
And then Roy said, if Roy Moore is elected, it is not so much that fake news is the problem; it's that fake Christians. There's fake Christians. Lisa from Montgomery. Let me read that again. If Roy Moore is elected, it's not so much that fake news is the problem, it's that there's fake Christians. And that's from Lisa. All right. Okay, good morning, panel. Good to hear you all.
Good to hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I remain baffled by the Trump administration's approach, or is it just Trump's, that has resulted in the U.S. withdrawing from our leadership role in the world. Is there an explanation, or is this just a man who is completely uninterested in things outside the U.S.? China and Russia are clearly interested in filling the voids he's creating. Here comes Alan's explanation, which I've given before. This guy, Trump, and his vassal, Roy Moore, they don't give a damn about anything else other than their own electoral prospects or who they are. They just don't care. You have to understand that. Mm-hmm. So when you say he doesn't care about Paris, he doesn't care about the Accords, he doesn't care about the health care, he doesn't care about 26 million people getting thrown off the health rolls, it's all because he thinks the way I won the last time is through this base. I'm going to connect with that base, and I need all the red meat I can get.
That's how a lot of politicians operate, though, right?
Well, I think they do, but I think there's more, JP, I think there's more of a, you know, of a finesse with most people. This is pretty heavy-handed stuff. And if you look back in history, there he goes again. If you look back in history, you see who the game plan was written by. Goebbels and other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, attacking the press, et cetera.
It's right out of Hitler's playbook.
It is.
What's the matter, Mike? You're awfully quiet today.
I could speak up, but you know, you're just covering it all. You're covering it all so well today, Alan, that I can't even add to
it. Did I say something that offended you?
Not at all. Never.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let's move just slightly to the women accusing Donald Trump, who have come forward and say that several women came forward yesterday repeating their sexual misconduct accusations against the president of the United States. They came forward during the 2016 campaign to accuse Donald Trump of sexual misconduct. They renewed their allegations publicly on Monday, betting that recently aggressive attitudes against harassment will give their stories new life and demanding that Congress investigate the president's actions. The women said they were frustrated that their stories about what they described as Mr. Trump's actions did not have a greater effect on his campaign, but they also expressed hope that they would be taken more seriously after a torrent of similar accusations had toppled the careers of powerful men in the news media, business, and politics.
Well, that's three out of how many? That's
nine.
Forward, nine.
Is that correct, nine? Is that the number nine?
I think so. It was up there.
I read them. I read the accusations, and it is just so hard for me to, you know, to understand them. I mean, here's one woman who's saying, okay, he's sitting next to me on the airplane and he just put his hand on my skirt. Didn't know him, didn't know her, but just did that. And I said, could that really be so? And then I remembered coming up on the bus to visit my girlfriend back in the day when I was doing my work on my master's degree. And I was on the bus. Guy next to me was sleeping. And all of a sudden, his hand came down on my thigh. And I had a ballpoint pen in my pocket, and I jammed it into the guy's hand. So it happens. Mm-hmm. Stuff happens.
Well, I thought you were going to tell a different bus story.
Oh, yeah, which one?
The one where Donald Trump was on the bus saying that's exactly what he does.
Right. Of
course.
Yeah, the Access exactly Hollywood. Right.
They let you do it.
But famous, you can do whatever you want.
Well, you know what's so interesting about that? There are many people who think when he said that on the tape, it was just bravado. You know, it was just...
locker room talk.
You know, sort of locker room talk or bravado. But it turns out it wasn't.
No. Why would anyone say that as
because
bravado?
Because you're a jerk on a jerk's radio show.
You're a jerk and on the scale of one to jerk, you're the jerk. But
and on a jerk's radio show, knowing that that's what he wanted to hear.
Well, no, he was. That was Access Hollywood.
That was Access
that
Hollywood.
That was Bully Bush. It wasn't Howard Stern.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Howard Stern would want to hear that. But you know, the fact is that this man has used sexual coercion and violence and predatory behavior his entire life, and he sees women in one way, in one way only. And what's interesting is, you know, our senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, called for his resignation. And the president, or I can't even say that, Trump came back with a tweet that was absolutely disgusting, saying
when
that...
This was tweeted this morning, correct?
Yes, this was tweeted this morning, right?
Okay.
Saying that, you know, Donald Trump, that Kirsten Gillibrand would go to her, to his his office and beg for campaign contributions.
Do you think that's true?
I don't know.
Do you think it's possible?
I don't think she begs anybody.
Did
I think
she ask
asked
him for campaign contributions?
Sure.
Every politician asks everybody.
Right. That's
he was a money man who gave to a lot of Democrats.
She wasn't discriminate about who she would ask for money. She was happy to ask Donald Trump, a well-known womanizer, for money.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's
so
true.
So are you all now?
True.
Wait a second. No. He's allowed to say that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and also a big contributor to both parties.
That's right. He's a contributor to both parties. But you know, to say she'd come to his office begging, calling her a flunky of Schumer, and would do anything for campaign contributions, which
yeah, I mean that's
certain
an innuendo,
things.
That
is really disgusting.
Let me ask you this though. Here, you know, these women who came out with the allegations against Trump during the campaign, it didn't change the outcome of the campaign for Trump. Still won.
Right.
Is it now that the norms have changed in the last few months so rapidly that these allegations now have stronger standing and they are being renewed now to a different society?
I think that's exactly it.
And they say so, by the way.
Yes.
You know, Mike, that's a brilliant observation. And, you know, often you don't talk a lot, but when you do talk, you really say something that's worthwhile listening to.
I also think it's significant that Gillibrand called for his resignation. Kirsten Gillibrand just last week started a snowball that led to the resignation of a very well-respected Senator Al Franken. And so now there are, I think, four other U.S. senators who have called for Trump's resignation. Is every Democratic senator going to call for Trump's resignation? I believe Chuck Schumer right now is silent on this.
Mm-hmm.
And are all these Democratic senators going to come out and call for Trump's resignation?
Well, the problem, of course, for a guy like Schumer is he's doing business with Trump. We all know it.
He's negotiating with him.
Right.
And I can't believe that Kirsten Gillibrand... Schumer had a lot to do with having her appointed. We all know that. He and D'Amato, of all people, doing that. So I can't believe that they don't talk to each other. In other words, that Schumer and Gillibrand don't
calculated.
Say, okay, you go carry this one.
Right.
She's going to run for president.
But this also just continues her... She's been carrying the mantle around sexual assault in the military.
She has.
Since... She became senator. She's really pushed this issue. She stands up for women. She's talking about sexual violence. She's recognizing what's going on. There is a sea change now for whatever reason it is. You know, there is now a sea change where all of a sudden people are saying, oh, this is going on? I mean, it's been going on for years.
You should also point out, too.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they said so. the women have said so who came forward. They said there's a change in the climate.
Right, right.
And we thought this was the right time to do it.
Right. And up till, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, Kirsten Gillibrand was the biggest Bill Clinton supporter there was. And all of a sudden, because it will help her politically, she's throwing him under the bus.
So I'm thinking you're not a fan of Kirsten Gillibrand.
No, I'm just pointing out the other side. I am a fan of her. I think she's a very attractive candidate. I think that she will do great in a 2020 contest.
She's 1% now.
And she's very smart. I'm simply pointing out some of the hypocrisy that I've read in the media about Senator Gillibrand.
All right. Let's take a break. We're going can I pause you there? Okay. Very good. We'll be back right after the short break. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Let me go to some. Let's go to some letters, and then we'll move on to other topics. We have other things to discuss.
Patrick writes, "Okay, Alabama Christians should ask themselves and or their clergy, would Jesus of Nazareth vote for Roy Moore?" That's from Patrick of East Windham.
It's an interesting question.
It's back to my patron saint question.
And then we have a wonderful letter from Kevin, who happens to be a distant relative of mine, but I thought I should just say that. He's the brother of my son-in-law.
Okay.
Don't you see? Okay. He's a half-brother, my son. Okay. Good morning, panel. I found it ironic listening to NPR this morning where the gentleman from Alabama was interviewed saying he was a feminist and all for women's rights but could not vote for Jones because of his stance on abortion. Moore will win because of the religious right with their opinion of what's worse, a man allegedly accused of sexual assault on minors or a man who supports the killing of millions of unborn babies, end quote. Either way, the GOP will lose in the long run with him in office or with him or not in office, your friend, Kevin. I don't know what relative of mine he would be in terms of officially.
It's called a mishpocha. It's part of mishpocha.
Yeah, that's it's an extended family. Right.
Right.
It's true.
Yiddish is a wonderful
Mike,
language.
You want to help me out with that?
Well, no. No, no I don't, Joe.
Okay. So when it comes, what? Go ahead.
So, Kirsten.
Oh, you were in the middle
back.
Of the story, and I paused you.
Yeah,
so I'm taking you off.
You
pause.
You put her on pause.
Yes, I was on pause. Right. But Kirsten tweeted back to the president, and you know, it's a friend of mine put a screenshot up from the TV, and it's the MSNBC feed, and it says President Trump tweet, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand quote would do anything close quote in quote my office for donations. Making it seems
Whoa.
Like yeah, right. Well, you
that
know.
Is a sort of sexual innuendo.
Yes,
right?
It was a sexual. I think Trump's tweet was a sexual innuendo, and she
which
says
part of Trump's tweet again was a sexual innuendo.
You would do,
anything
in my office
for
donations.
Oh, I see.
For
right.
Trump. Yeah, you do, and then he used the word "used," which I can only assume, in his mind, equals slut. I just. Can't
he
I
by
just
the way,
don't
he,
understand.
He uses huge all the time.
Used.
Oh,
used.
Oh.
Yeah, like she's used goods.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
She wrote back, That's you cannot good. Silence me or the millions of women who have gotten off the sidelines to speak out about the unfitness and shame you have brought to the Oval Office. And she is absolutely right.
Well, I do believe she's on to something here. Mm-hmm. She may well be on her way. I mean, this is going to be, she has to distinguish herself from the crowd who will be running for for president.
Yeah.
And she's not stupid about this. She's doing exactly what she needs to do to get ahead.
And you know,
well,
and that's
the right
politics.
Thing too, right? Right. I mean,
and
it's,
that's
it's
politics. Nobody would blame a guy.
But it's
doing
disingenuous
this.
To say
it's politics.
Just to call this politics. This is a legitimate,
yes,
significant right. legitimate public issue. The way that men have mistreated women,
absolutely
and,
right,
and. Using the opportunity to elevate that into the conversation and is, I think she's smart to do it. It's going to benefit her, yes. I mean, there is risks associated with it, yes. But she, I think she's riding the crest of,
yes,
of
but,
something.
Yes, but I think if a man did this, yeah. the response would be, what a great guy he is. He's standing up for women. A woman does this, there'll be a response of, oh, she's just running for president.
Well,
there's a qualitative difference
and
in
you know
some
what?
Of those
You know
responses.
What, Libby, though? She may be running for president.
And that's just fine with me.
Thanks, Mike.
There was a letter that we got that I saw, and I thought it was just an interesting point, that if Doug Jones does win, then what does that do? What will Trump say? Will the election mm-hmm. be challenged? Will it be questioned as to the results? Will there be suppression or whatever the case
may be?
There'll
probably be an investigation of the miscounted
right. I mean,
votes.
Don't you think
he'll say anything he wants to say, and there's nothing that's going to stop him. Nothing has stopped him from doing any of that stuff.
Right. And look, we flipped a lot of red seats blue in November, so. This could very well be just part of the way.
Well, not yet.
Well, a number of ones that you would never have thought.
We're talking.
Would go
yeah.
blue.
Well, look, you're exactly right, Libby. There is a possibility that based on the very minor offices in this relatively minor offices that flipped in this last election, that might be a warning sign for Trump mm-hmm. that something is coming. But on the other hand, it's still 52-48 in the United States Senate, and with Franken going. That makes it 52-47, right?
But there'll be a Democrat appointed to that post until the next election.
Which post?
To Franken. The governor of Minnesota can appoint a Democrat to that, to his vacant post.
And I read somewhere that he could run for his seat again.
Yes, he can. There's a little bit of speculation that he'll spend the next 6 months clearing his name mm-hmm. and then putting his finger in the air and then letting mm-hmm. the voters of Minnesota decide whether they want to keep him.
Well, I don't know. You know, he won by something like 8 votes in the first
one of the closest elections in history.
So, Norm Coleman.
Yeah, so that's right. But I'm thinking that if that there is a groundswell right now. I'm seeing it in my mail and other places saying, don't resign. Don't resign, because he hasn't resigned yet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he'll take some heart from that.
I wonder if he gets elected again to the U.S. Senate, does Senator Gillibrand call for him to resign again?
Probably not, because the people of his state have spoken, and it's beyond the...
It certainly is complicated. Yeah.
Kind of like the people of the United States have spoken about Trump, and he's in.
Yeah, well...
Well, and that was, we should note, that was the...
Actually, the people of the United States have not spoken. 3 million people more voted for Hillary. It was the Electoral College that spoke.
Okay, but the argument that is coming out of the White House, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said yesterday that people going to the polls in November knew of this, and they elected him anyway.
And overall, they chose him.
She's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And that is going to be the result in Alabama. I mean, if they do elect Roy Moore, I mean, the people of Alabama will have made a choice legally and constitutionally.
Yes, maybe.
The fact
of the matter is you need a voter ID card in Alabama, and you got to mm-hmm. get them from the DMV. And so then what did the DMV do?
They closed down
all of the DMV offices in heavily populated areas where people of color live.
Isn't that remarkable?
Isn't that? It's amazing.
There was a time when a civil rights office out of the Justice Department would investigate that.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not thinking that's going to happen this time.
Me neither.
Yeah. I thought we moved on from the time people had to be able to recite the Constitution.
That's right. Jim Crow is alive and well in the South.
So, from my understanding, polls are open till 7 tonight. Is that correct? I think they're open till 7 Eastern time.
Oh, okay. Which would be 8 o'clock there.
Well, I believe so. So, we will watch and find... that out. Yes, they're an hour. That's what that means.
It's central time.
Yeah, they're central time. So I believe we'll. And then we'll
I
start.
Noted you were waving to the right there. Yes,
yes,
they're to the
sure.
right.
To the right.
Just so the viewers, the listeners know that there was a waving of hands.
Yes.
Like the guy, the columnist I once, in a paper who said he had a show on WAMC and he said, "Next slide, please. Next slide, please." I'll never forget that one. It happens.
Yeah, it does.
All right, we're going to take a break and go to news with Ray Graff. And when we come back, we will continue. We have other things to discuss. We'll talk about tax plans. We'll talk about the bombing attempt in Manhattan yesterday and other subjects, as well as transgender in the military and other things right after this. Time to do a show. Oh, thank you, Liz. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. This morning we had a little shakeup while we left. Alan had to go. He had a doctor's appointment. So Alan has left the building. And he will, but he'll be back tomorrow. And obviously.
But he's probably listening.
Oh, I'm sure he's listening.
Just be careful what you say.
That's
right. Slide, please.
No, I'm going to put your mic on there, Libby.
Thanks.
That's
okay.
Good morning and welcome, panel at WAMC.org. Let me read the letters that we have, and then we'll move on to other topics, and we'll kind of go in a lightning round and get through all of those. Bob says, let's take a moment to thank the Department of Defense for deciding to move forward on allowing transgender Americans to enlist in the military in spite of Donald Trump's bigoted ban. Obvious. That is a story that I was going to get to, and no time like the present, I guess, which is it was announced yesterday that transgender people will be allowed to enlist in the military as a court case advances. The defense secretary, Jim Mattis, was given only one day's notice of President Trump's decision in July to ban transgender people for joining the military. And it was announced yesterday that beginning January 1st, transgender people will be allowed to enlist in the military. A federal judge allowed an October order pausing the ban to remain in effect pending further legal review. The judge of the Federal District Court in Washington said in a ruling on Monday that the ban most likely violates constitutional rights to due process and equal protection. She rejected the Trump administration's argument that it needs more time to prepare to process new transgender recruits for military service.
You know, I've always been torn on this issue. One, I really don't want to have anybody sign up for the military, you know, and be part of that complex. But if you do want to go and defend our country and be a part of the military, anybody who wants to, who is of sound mind, because these people would rather take folks with documented mental illness than take lesbians, gays, bisexual, transgender folks who are fine and who want to serve our country. So I think that, you know, this is the next step in fully integrating the LGBT community into America's life. And there is no problem with unit cohesion. There is no problem with any of it. It's individual bigotry from the far right around the transgender and the rest of the lesbian, gay, and bisexual community that is driving this, and it's the right thing to do. The judge is right, and let's see what happens. I mean, you know, the judge is right, and let's just move on and let these people serve with dignity.
Well, I think it also demonstrates something. It's a recognition that throughout our military, just as throughout our business world and our communities, LGBT people are here and
we're not going
all
anywhere.
Around us and,
right.
and you're not going away, and the judge recognizes that. They're a part of the military. They serve our country. They serve us every day in various professional positions. And to pretend that it's some isolated little minority that's off to the edge anymore is such a thing of the past. And all the judge is doing here is sort of recognizing reality, as opposed to President Trump's July tweets, where he established the policy that will no longer have transgender people in the military.
Yeah, and Trump is kind of just trying to grasp at a political advantage on this mm-hmm. issue. But when you really talk to people in the military, there are so few people in our society that actually enlist in the military and serve our country. And if someone is transgender or gay or lesbian and wants to serve, you gain the respect of those military people immediately, no matter what you do in your personal life.
Advocates came out and said they're not ready to declare victory in this yet. A gentleman by the name of Aaron Belkin, mm-hmm. who's director of the Palm Center, which advocates on behalf of the transgender community in the military, said what the ruling signals is both the Pentagon and the courts have recognized that Trump was stepping out of his lane when he tweeted. But he added, this could be a long process. We just don't know what happens next.
Right. And the Palm Center is a longstanding institution within the community. They were at the forefront of the gays in the military work that happened before gays were allowed to serve openly in Don't Ask, Don't Tell went away. So they, you know, when Aaron Belkin says something, I take that with all seriousness.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I mean, just this issue, Trump tweeting saying that transgender people are not allowed in the military, and the courts and the Pentagon itself continuing to accommodate people regardless of their preference or their identification, gender identification. It still, does it inspire people who might be transgender to enlist in the military, or does it kind of scare them off because it looks like it might not be a friendly place to be?
I think that it's a challenge. The military is a very male-dominated structure. It's very difficult for women. As Kirsten Gillibrand has made very clear about sexual assault in the military, it's not easy because of how patriarchal it is. But they're recognizing the need to open the military up to lots of different folks. And there are people in this country, LGBT people, who want to serve their country. And that's their desire and their drive, and they want to do it. And so if they want to serve, I don't think that they will be frightened away by this. Mm-hmm. There was, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or there was a show that I saw of a transgender couple, both of who are serving in the military. One's a nurse and one's in active duty, and about the challenges that they face. But they love our country and they want to serve the country and they want to defend the country. So, you know, I think if the people have this calling to do this, they will do it.
We got a letter from Carol Stenger, and I'm going to read what her title is only because it has a lot to do with the letter, which is director of the Advocacy Center for Sexual Violence in the University at Albany. She said, as much as I detest Roy Moore and what he stands for, I do want to point out that I cringe a bit when I hear the word pedophile attached to him. As I learned in my doctoral program in human sexuality, a pedophile is someone who is attracted to prepubescent children. Once the child develops secondary sex characteristics, they are typically no longer attractive to the pedophile. Roy Moore's behavior fits the little-known term hebephile, I believe is how that is.
H-E-B-E. Uh-huh. And what's the definition of hebephile?
Someone attracted to young teens and adolescents post-puberty. And that is why I love the show, because I learned something. And
yeah, I think that's an interesting distinction.
Carol, mm-hmm. for that. Yep. Excellent, and I thank you.
Hey, I got to tell you, hebephiles are not desirable people either.
Yeah.
No.
It's also election day. They should have told us this 3 weeks ago. We could have, you know, got hebephile all over the TV. You know.
Yeah. Well, but certainly the term sexual predator applies.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's really what. It's
and when you're in your mid 30s and you're a officer of the court, I mean, you're an assistant district attorney. You shouldn't ought to be going to the hangout in the mall, food court, and
right.
picking up teenage girls.
Right. I mean. He I'm not going to say what I was going to
well,
say.
Well, and then.
Yeah, you can't.
Thank you.
I know.
And Libby, we thank you.
I know.
We thank you.
Okay, fine. So you all know what I was going to say.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is that when you look at. We had a letter writer yesterday. The letter shocked me a bit, saying that 14-year-olds aren't children. And I thought, well, you know, I have a 14-year-old niece. I don't know. Are any of your grandkids 14 years old?
13-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it still seemed like a child, right? I mean,
they are.
I understand, I guess, well, I don't really understand the point of the letter, but I think
maybe physically they're capable of giving birth. We know that.
Or being sexualized, by the same token, they're still children.
Right.
But
these are the same kids who can get married.
They say, believe it or not, some people regard adolescence as continuing right through your late 20s, depending on the individual. So,
God, I feel that way now.
Yeah.
All right. If Doug Jones wins in Alabama, says Virginia, the result will be challenged by Trump, and the more people... Oh, this is the letter I was referring to earlier. Trump will declare the result false. There was voter cheating and demand a recount, et cetera, and so it will go on and on. This from Matt, who writes about Kirsten Gillibrand and says, this is a sheer political opportunism on Gillibrand's part. She owes her political life to the Clintons. She's taken money from the tobacco and firearms industry. She's not speaking up for women. She's speaking up for herself.
You know, I political opportunism, you know, that's such a derogatory way to describe that she has long been a protector of women's rights and defending them against sexual assault, as Libby mentioned, in the military. And she's been really fighting that battle in Congress, enlisting help across the aisle to try to get the rules changed so that the generals can't exonerate their soldiers who have engaged in sexual assault and overrule the courts in the military. And she, this is the time. This is the moment to make progress, to move forward very fast. She does this at political risk. She has alienated this writer, and she's alienating other people, and it may be a wash, and she may not have anything beyond the lofty U.S. Senate in her future.
And you could say that she, absolutely, Mike, and you could say that she is alienating progressives who were holding hope in Al Franken that he could stay, and by her coming out and saying that he should resign.
I think there's a lot of risk to that. A lot of people are really angry at her, and a lot of progressives, as you say.
Yes, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see it moving forward.
And I should add an addendum to my earlier comment about Senator Gillibrand, in that I do think she's an opportunist, but I don't see that as a bad thing to say about a politician. And her criticizing, being the first sitting U.S. senator to come out and criticize former President Clinton, showed a lot of courage. That is not without a ton of political risk for her. And what she is doing is not without risk. So I do commend her for that.
All right. This letter from Lillian, who says, what my husband cares about while serving in the Navy, set to retire in the spring, will you train hard? Will you work hard? Will you take responsibility for your actions? Nothing else matters. Trans in the military. If Roy Moore did today, said Danny, what he did when he was in his 30s, I'm sure he would swiftly be dealt with. Why is that it seems to be swept under the rug because it was 30 years ago?
My pal Chris Churchill, the columnist at the Times Union, said something interesting. If Roy Moore had just said a couple of months ago, I was wrong and I have found God and I am seeking forgiveness, this wouldn't even be an issue anymore.
Yeah, but he already found God, you know.
I mean, he found it after he was, in his 30s. But but that would have required him to admit it. See, he stood fast that it wasn't true spite of the, continuing revelations and testimony.
He's taking a page out of the Trump playbook.
Yeah, he's just denying it. That's a bad tactic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is a bad tactic.
All right. Let's just mention this for a moment, which is that a man is in custody after a bombing in Times Square yesterday on the way to
Port Authority.
Right under the Port Authority, going into Times Square in a passenger throughway. Man in custody after attempted terrorist attack in New York was inspired by ISIS, according to officials. A 27-year-old man detonated a crude pipe bomb strapped to his body inside of a subway passage Monday morning. That, according to police, sending terrified commuters running for the exits and counterterrorism officials racing to unravel the second terrorist attack in the city in less than 2 months. I actually had to do a check in my brain as to what the other one was, but that, of course, was on the bike path where the
eight
man
people were killed
in the truck.
And the truck and going against the school bus. The pipe bomb was fixed to his clothes with Velcro and zip ties. It detonated about 7:20 as he walked in an underground passageway from the subway station at 42nd and 8th to a nearby station at 7th Avenue. Police said the attack brought Monday's morning commute in crowded Times Square to a standstill as a massive police response locked down the area while authorities searched for other bombs. Security video shows a man walking down the crowded tunnel, seemingly just another passerby, until a giant puff of smoke knocks him to the ground. Apparently did not go off the way it should have gone off, also not particularly at the place it was supposed to go off at. But yet another reminder that we have to be on the, I don't know what you say, be on the lookout. I don't know what you look out for. You know, you just expect, you live your life and you go to work and you go, to the city to visit around the holiday time and you hope, that nothing horrible happens. And of course you know that there are possible risks.
Well, JP, you just most recently moved up from New York City. I mean, just living in New York City as you did for all those years, what does this mean to you?
You just go on with your day and you go to work and you know there's risk, and you do certainly, when you're riding the subway or you're on the train, you certainly say, boy, wouldn't this be a great target for a terrorist when it's a really crowded subway? And we're lucky the guy wasn't a smarter bomb maker, I guess.
We're fortunate he was incompetent, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It's true. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't even, never mind. But, you know, the fact is you just have to go on living your life, because otherwise what they really want us to do is be in fear all the time.
Right.
And then they win, if that's the case.
It's an incredibly resilient population, yes, in New York City.
Yeah.
And it almost seemed like they shrug their shoulders and they go,
Another day. Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is I think it's important to point out that, yes, this happened, and it didn't happen the way it should have happened, according,
thankfully
that the bomber had intended. But the response was so quick. Anyone who has been to Amtrak or to the subway or Long Island Railroad or New Jersey Transit or Metro North, the presence there, mm-hmm, is unbelievable. And you feel a certain degree of safeness walking through, to have the National Guard, to have Amtrak police, to have the New York City Police Department there, federal agents on standby. I was just making that walk from Amtrak to the subway down under in the tunnel in the passageway, and the presence there is unbelievable.
Yeah, I have to agree. When I got in New York City, when I got in Manhattan, especially Midtown, you just feel safe.
Yeah.
I mean, you're struggling to get through the traffic jams of people as you're making your way up 8th Avenue, et cetera. But it is really, it's a secure city.
Mm-hmm. You go in to see a show. There is a security check. You go do anything, you walk into a building, there is a security check.
Well, we went
check.
To see Billy Joel. You know, we went to see Billy Joel at the Garden like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And every place you turn, there was security. There were people there. There was, you know, I felt safe. I didn't feel like...
Well, it's the new way of life. Yeah,
it is the will, and which is a shame, but it's okay because I'd rather be alive than not. And so we have to take the good with the bad, and the fact is that to have that kind of presence can be stifling on one level, but it's about whether or not we can go on and live our daily lives. And, you know, I want to be able to walk out on the street. I want to be able to go to see Star Wars on Thursday night and not feel scared. I want to be able to do things, and having the presence there. I mean, look, when we were in Paris when the attacks happened. When we went to the Marais that day or the day before, which is the Jewish quarter, it was the only place I saw armed guards was in the Jewish quarter, because that's where all the attacks had been previously. And we felt safer. Then we go out into, you know, the streets of Paris, and that wasn't the case. And so now, and then the attacks happen. So this is just the reality of our lives, given what we have to live with and the threat that we're under just because we have a democracy and we believe in freedom.
Mayor de Blasio had a really, I thought, great comment to close out the press conference yesterday. He said, we want New Yorkers to know that your police, our police and our investigators are working overtime on this. We want everybody to get back to work. And
yeah,
so
yeah. Was,
everybody get back to
normalcy.
Work. Let's go.
Yeah.
They did. In fact, even finding a story that was on the front page yesterday, the Times had it, but even finding the story at 7, 8, 9 o'clock last night was difficult because we just moved on.
I was watching the Today Show. This yesterday morning, I woke up somewhere. Oh, in Boston, outside of Boston, and I was watching.
One of those
I woke
nights.
Up, yeah, well. Really was. I woke up somewhere.
Where did you go to bed?
Yeah, right.
Boston.
Yeah, at Milford, and I was watching the Today Show, and they broke in. They said this has happened. Then they went back to their regular programming.
Yeah,
it was not a major thing because no one was killed, wasn't a big bomb and. So.
Well, my thanks to the whole panel this morning, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Libby Post. Of course, Alan, who left us a bit early, but thanks to him as well. We'll be back with another group tomorrow to discuss the Alabama Senate race and the results of the race that we've been talking about for the past month. We'll be back with this program right after this short break.